Morning Show with Justin and Ailish. Monday morning, Gunning and Ennis. I want to hear this part of the song. Yeah. This is it, folks. Well, we requested to have our favorite guests to round out the show, but Kevin Barker was busy. So we're here with our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Jeff Blair, best for last. How are you? You know what? I was thinking off the air. I'm like, I'm going to get Jeff on a good joke. But you know what? Great minds think alike.
Good radio minds right there.
There you go. Well,
great even.
Not as good as Gerrit Cole. He's a pretty good pitcher, is he not?
Yeah. I don't have a Cy Young vote, but if I did, I guess I'd know where it would be going after last night. Yeah, I mean, that was, you know, I don't know what to make of it, right? I mean, it's Gerrit Cole. He's done that to the Blue Jays before. He's done that to a lot of other teams before. He's really the only guy in the Yankees who's got anything to play for or pitch for right now. So I kind of expected that, but at the same time, it is a not very subtle reminder that this team's lineup as it is, once you get to the playoffs, regardless of the playoff series you're in, whether it's Tampa or Minnesota, you're going to run into pitching that may not be as good as Gerrit Cole, but it's going to be better than a lot of the pitching you've beaten up recently. And that would really concern me. You know, Sonny Gray is capable of doing to them what Gerrit Cole did. Tyler Glasnow is capable of doing that. They see him tonight. They'll get him one more time in the regular season. And you'd have to think if they end up facing Tampa in the playoffs, which is certainly, you know, Tampa and Minnesota are the two possibilities, you're going to be getting him and Zach Eflin in the Tampa series. So, yeah, that's really concerning, the fact that one of the game's elite pitchers could barely break a sweat against that lineup. Not surprising, but obviously concerning.
I was listening to your post-game chat with Barker, and you mentioned a lot about how they're unable to make in-game adjustments and not against the best of the best, and that's what they're going to face moving forward. So what do you mean by that? Like, how are they not able to adjust when you know it's going to be Gerrit Cole, you know he's going to win the AL Cy Young, but you're still not able to find a way to muster up much?
Yeah, I mean, I think when people talk about adjustments, like I don't think, you know, we're not always talking about changing your batting stance halfway through the game or anything. I mean, obviously, guys are going to do what they're going to do. Like my friend Barker would say, it probably wouldn't hurt to move around in the box a little bit, which this team doesn't do, and most teams don't do anymore, and you used to see all the time. I mean, it would seem to make common sense, or to be common sense, that you would shuffle around in the box a bit and, you know, try to change the point of contact, et cetera, et cetera. But I think the thing with Gerrit Cole is simply, you know, other than Alejandro Kirk, who took an outside pitch, you know, to the opposite field, center field, opposite field, and hit a double. A very simplistic approach, and really the only thing you can do against a guy like Gerrit Cole. It seemed as if the Jays players were, like, you know, you're getting his fastball. Let's try to swing at it regardless of where it's located. And I think against a guy like Gerrit Cole, you've almost got to pick a spot, right? You say, okay, I'm looking for a fastball in this part of the plate. And if I get it, I'm going to try to put a good swing on it. If I don't, well, he's Gerrit Cole. And, you know, that's kind of the way it is, the old you tip your cap to him. And I just think that's been the hallmark of this team for most of the season, is they just don't seem to be able to deviate from whatever plan it is they have. And that's good if the plan's working. It's not so good if the plan isn't working.
It was an option, so I guess you had to do it, even if you can kind of quibble with it a little bit. But Vladimir Guerrero Jr. comes off the bench and basically encounters the worst-case scenario, I think, where he's unproductive in that pinch hit and has to sprint down the line on the injured knee, or the knee that's at least mired in some discomfort. How this has played out over the last 2 days, what we heard last night from John Schneider, and as we look towards this Tampa series, Has the concern around Vlad, at least from an appearance standpoint, been alleviated at all? Do you feel better, less concern? Because Vladdy, even if just a guy who belongs in the middle of the order to make things a little bit more difficult on a Glasnow or a Cole, like, it's important that he's there, even if he's still dealing with some of the issues he's been dealing with all season. But from what you've heard and what you've seen, less concern that Vladdy's going to be an impact for the Blue Jays down the stretch here.
I mean, I'm going to be honest. I think he's been hurt all year. You know, not seriously enough that it would require a stint on the IL. But I've kind of been suspicious about his wrist for most of the season. He mentioned yesterday in his pregame availability, you know, I just kind of mentioned out of the blue that he'd had this wrist issue, as well as a knee. So I kind of think that it's probably something that's been lingering for a while. It's something that he's been playing through. I mean, the thing about Vladdy is he does play every day, whether he's DHing or hitting. He posts up. And I mean, I'm still concerned because you saw the lineup without Vladdy. Like, I understand people love Davis Schneider. They love the story. They love the mustache. He's 0 for 26. Mm-hmm. In September, you know, in the most important part of the year. It is entirely possible that Davis Schneider is just kind of an okay 25th or 26th guy, just as Spencer Horwitz is an okay lefty bat off the bench. I think, and it's understandable. Again, it's a great story and, you know, kind of the classic baseball story, a guy that nobody thinks much of, works hard, works his way up through the organization, takes his best shot, and has a great start to his major league career. And, I mean, he's earned himself a contract for next year, so that's all been fine and good. But I think we kind of need to pump the brakes a bit on the idea that, Davis Schneider is a guy that can be a difference maker for this team. He has been, he was when he first came up, but there's a lot of videotape on him now. There's a new scouting report on him now, I would think. And again, now you're facing elite pitchers. And the thing you're going to run into in Tampa that you didn't run into in New York and you're going to run into in the postseason is you're also going to run into an elite bullpen. Mm-hmm. And I mean, there aren't going to be too many breaks for this lineup going forward. So, I mean, I didn't have an issue with pinch hitting Vladdy. I think in that situation, you got to take your best shot. The inning's unraveling. You already know you're in the bullpen. Why not have a guy who is still, as bad as his year, has got 24 home runs and 90 ribbies? Why not have him take a shot and try to hit one out of the park and tie the game? A park, by the way, that he hits very well in. Mm-hmm. So, I didn't have any problem with that move.
Davis Schneider won Blue Jays Minor League Player of the Year yesterday, so maybe he was just overjoyed with emotion and unable to perform at a high level. But he's got that.
Possible.
He's got that to add to the trophy cabinet of this year. We're chatting with Jeff Blair, co-host of Blair and Barker. Okay, so the next couple days or series here, we'll see some elite pitching and we'll see some teams that, I mean, we saw the rest of the Yankees that were uninspiring. But Nate Pearson almost had a real rough, another blip on his resume last night. I guess it starts, we've had the Nate Pearson conversation many times, but it's resurfaced again. And I wonder for you if Nate Pearson is someone that is a trade piece or a move-on piece in the offseason. And he definitely owes George Springer, as Justin was saying, a couple beers for the way he held him in, kept his ERA down a little bit last night.
Yeah, I mean, I think without question, he has to be a trade chip. Mm-hmm. I don't see any way. Now, let me rephrase that, because a lot of depend on what they do with Jordan Hicks. If I'm the Blue Jays, I try to re-sign Jordan Hicks, because Jordan Hicks is exactly the type of guy that I'm going to end up looking for at the trade deadline, right? And if Jordan Hicks does come back, the bullpen, the way it is now, given some of the options they have in AAA as well, some of the dudes they have coming up. Yeah, I thought Nate Pearson was a change of scenery guy 2 years mm-hmm. ago. I bought in a little bit this year because we saw some flashes of the pitcher that some people think he can be. You know, we The curve is really, I like the curve fastball combination. John Wetland used it to effect when he was with the Expos and then went on to pitch for the Yankees. I think it's a good combination for a closer, but yeah, he's not a leverage guy for me. And if you can get something for him, whether it's straight up or more likely part of a package, I think he's as good as gone, because this team is going to have to do a lot of heavy lifting in the offseason. They're not going to be able to address all their issues through free agency. I mean, the good news is the pitching's pretty solid. You might want to add a free agent to give you a little bit of wiggle room in case Manoah doesn't come back or in case Bassett or Gausman go in the IL next year. But your focus has to be on adding. Gosh, I think you've got to be looking at adding two or three hitters to this lineup. And if that's the case, you're not going to be able to address that issue in free agency. You're probably going to have to trade to get that commodity. And if you look around the organization, you ask yourself, all right, who are the guys that, because of a combination of depth or because, you know, they're the type of pitcher or the type of player that, you know, baseball teams think that they can reinvent, who's most likely to go? And I think Nate Pearson would absolutely be that guy. I mean, that stuff plays. It's just a matter of unleashing it. It's weird. It's a matter of unleashing it and also harnessing it. And I guess what really concerns me about Nate Pearson is, you know, that we've had so many false starts with him, and it's still the same thing, right? It's the same old thing time and time again. So, yeah, I think he's an obvious trade candidate for this team going forward.
Maybe less obvious, but Alek Manoah definitely falls into the same category for many reasons. Of course, he has the season-ending injections reported on this week from Ben Nicholson-Smith. Do you have an off-season prediction for Alek Manoah? I mean, last time we talked to you, you're kind of teasing. Yeah, we're going to learn a lot. I think we're going to learn a lot about Alek Manoah and his season eventually, even though it seems to be shrouded in secrecy and the unknown as we speak now. But something has to happen, it seems like, here with Manoah. Just like showing up again for training camp is probably not preparing to be a pitching staff that's going to be, or at least preparing to have a pitching staff that's going to perform at the same rate. So what do you expect in terms of like the final chapter here, at least on this season, for Alek Manoah?
I mean, I honestly have no idea. I just don't, other than I know that the relationship between Alek Manoah and the organization isn't great right now. There's a lot of frustration. I'm sure there's frustration on both sides. It's not entirely the same as we saw with Aaron Sanchez. Aaron Sanchez was, when he was here, had a finger issue that was just never addressed to everybody's satisfaction. And eventually both sides just got so tired of each other, they said, look, we're just going to move on. I don't think that's the case with Alek Manoah. I mean, you wouldn't, you know, in terms of a trade, I don't think you'd get anything for Alek Manoah anyhow. I don't know if we are ever going to know the full story. I'm surprised it hasn't come out by now, and I'm not saying I know what it is, what it in air quotes is, but I'm surprised the full story hasn't come out by now. It's been going on for 4 months. I think maybe at some point in spring training or going into spring training, Alek Manoah will sit down with somebody and let us know what's happened. But he's the guy we need to hear from now. The organization isn't going to say anything. For all we know, there may be reasons the organization can't say anything. I mean, we just don't know. It's going to be up to Alek Manoah to fill us in on the details, and ultimately, I think up to Alek Manoah to repair whatever damage has been done to this to this organization, and whatever damage has been done to the relationship. But I mean, I hope he comes back, and I hope he's good to go, because, you know, Kevin Gausman and Chris Bassett aren't getting any younger, and they've been, you know, knock on wood, they've been healthy so far this year. I think you really have to ask yourself, okay, what are the odds you're going to get through another season without an IL stint for those dudes? Because there's a lot of innings. They pitched a lot of innings. They pitched a lot of high leverage situations. You almost have to bake in an IL possibility for one of those guys next year. So where's your cover come from? I mean, you say Kikuchi is part of the answer. The good thing about Jose Berríos, again, knock on wood, is the guy's never been in the IL. He's always healthy. He'll always answer the bell. But, man, if Alek Manoah can come back and just be, if he can come back and be a good, solid fourth starter next year, that would be a boon to the Blue Jays organization.
How do they approach the unknowns in terms of what Manoah will bring to this team when you think about free agency and Ryu and adding someone? Because you're right, he could come in and be a fourth starter. He could come back and be as unhelpful to this roster as he was this year. So how do you kind of cover your bases in a sense?
I mean, I don't think you spend a great deal of money on it because you've got other issues you have to fill. But again, it's not like, I mean, unless I'm sure they'll make a call in Shohei Ohtani, because I'm sure most teams will make a call in Shohei Ohtani. But beyond that, it's not like there's, it's not like there's a difference maker out there. I mean, Blake Snell would be, every team in baseball would take Blake Snell. I can't imagine the Jays would go after him that hard. I mean, it would give them a nuclear rotation and we'd all love to see it. But I think it's pretty obvious what this team needs to do next year to get better. And you got to focus on that. My sense is, you hope that Ricky Tiedemann stays healthy, and he's kind of had a promising finish to his season, so that's good. He's obviously a candidate for the rotation next year, I would think, despite his injury issues. So maybe you hope that a guy like Ricky Tiedemann emerges. I'm sure you'll see the Blue Jays. There might be like a mid-level free agent they can sign. Somebody who will give them a little bit of support, but not necessarily be among their top four. That's why, to me, the biggest, the most promising story, I guess, out of this season for the Blue Jays stories was kind of the rediscovery of Yusei Kikuchi and Jose Berríos looking more like the dude that they offered a 7-year contract to, because that gives me a lot of confidence going forward, based on what we've seen from those two guys next year. I mean, let's say the unforeseeable, let's say Gausman can't answer the bell to start the year, or Bassett can't answer the bell to start the year. You would have no problem starting the year with Jose Berríos or Yusei Kikuchi playing a big role in your rotation. And, that's probably the best insurance you have right now.
Blue Jays are about to start a 3-game set against the Rays down at the Trop. It'll be Ryu, Bassett, and Kikuchi for us, and Glasnow at least tonight. They're also calling up the number 5th ranked prospect in baseball, 20-year-old Junior Caminero, I believe, making his jump from Double-A, dominated the minors this season, batting .324, 31 home runs across Single-A. Yeah, so they're not mailing it in here. Of course, they're playing for something as well. So a big weekend for the Blue Jays. What do you need from them? Either a series win in general, but what do you need in terms of confidence that this team can make a push here and maybe play the Rays again when it matters?
What I really need is Seattle or Texas, one of the two of them, to sweep.
True.
pick a team, either team. That's what I really need. I think winning the series would be mission accomplished. It sounds really silly, but at this point, you just have to win and check the scoreboard, and it doesn't really matter how you do it or whether you dominate or whether you fluke one out. I mean, based on what we've seen from the Blue Jays recently, you'd have to hope that Tyler Glasnow has a couple of wild pitches in him, and that maybe Tampa kicks the ball around, which they probably won't because they're Tampa. But if you're the Jays, two of three would be an accomplishment here. Then you come home and you're going to face more good pitching at home, a place where you haven't hit this year. So it's just a matter of winning the game in front of you. I know that's a real cliche, but that's really all you can do. And given this lineup, I think the only expectations you can have for this team is, a 3-1 win where the other team wild pitches in a run or walks in a run with the bases loaded. That's kind of the way this, this thing is going to have to be going forward, because it's pretty clear you're not getting any type of offensive explosion out of this team. But it is, I mean, what the Rays are doing is just such a Rays thing, right? It's just it's such a Rays thing, bringing up a guy in September who will probably give your lineup a jolt in the same way that all these kids that the Orioles have brought up have given their lineup a jolt. And it's such a change from the way things used to be done. You know, teams never used to, like, just bring up their top prospects and throw them into the middle of a pennant race, right? It always used to be this thing, oh, do you really want to do that? Do you want to upset the chemistry? Do you want to upset the dynamic? Do you want to upset the momentum? What if the guy, the lights are too bright for him? Teams don't worry about that anymore. So I'm sure this kid will come up and probably go 3-for-4 in one game. It's just because it's the Rays.
Yep. Well, that all begins tonight. Jeff, appreciate you jumping on with us and for always being a loyal morning show guest for us. Depending on the hour, you've always come on and given us a lot of good stuff. We appreciate it. And we'll see you around the studio a little bit more moving forward. Hopefully.
Absolutely.
With the Blue Jays, with them still playing. That would be nice for all of us.
Yeah. And get used to seeing pictures from your friends in bars. You're on TV. I can't get away from you anywhere. I get that all the time from my daughter in Ottawa when she's out with her friends. Yeah. You know, in the middle of the show, I get this picture. She'll say, stop it. So,
hey, Dad, leave me alone.
Exactly. I can't even go out and drink without having you around. No, listen, I've really enjoyed it. You guys, I think I sent you an email. You guys really grew a lot together. You have a real good chemistry. You developed a really good show. I'll put it this way. I'm not getting up at 7:30, 8 o'clock for too many people.
Oh, well, thank you, Jeff.
And you guys will kill it.
Thank you.
The pregame show.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate the kind words. And we will definitely chat with you very shortly and at better hours for all of us.
Yes, thanks, Jeff. Exactly.
Thanks, Jeff. That's Jeff Blair, co-host of Blair and Barker, and our insider brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus, where you can expect excellence online and in the showroom. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com. 2 years of reading that and never got a Lexus, so.
That's the way to complete the sponsorship portion of the show.
Well, maybe now that I won't be, you know, doing the reads, it's not a conflict of interest, and they can just hand me over Lexus.
That might be the case.
Yeah, I think that was what was missing.
Yeah, there you go.
If Ben and Brent get a Lexus,
you are gonna raise hellfire.
I just might. All right. Well, that was a lovely chat with Jeff. Blue Jays back in action tonight, and yeah, it doesn't get easier on the mound. Tyler Glasnow is no Garrett Cole, but he is a hard pitcher to hit against, and they struggled with that last night. Garrett Cole played 8 innings pitched, obviously just wrapping up that Cy Young while he can, but Blue Jays got to figure out a way to get to good pitchers, because that's what playoff baseball is all about.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say this is going to be the toughest of the remaining tests, right? It's the bottom end of the rotation for the Blue Jays. No Berríos, no Gausman available this weekend. It'll be Ryu, Bassett, Kikuchi, so the third, fourth, and fifth, however you want to order it, versus a Rays team that's going to be at least sending out their best tonight in Tyler Glasnow. And it's going to be as motivated. You can't question the motivations for the Tampa Bay Rays as we speak, because while they gained one on the Baltimore Orioles last night and have an opportunity to still catch them, I expect that maybe there's a throwaway game at the end of the season, but not now. So this is the toughest test, because we know the Yankees aren't doing what the Rays are doing right now.
Okay, well, we're going to take a break and have our last half an hour here on the Fan Morning Show. We got some fun stuff to do, some predictions that no one can hold us accountable for, because this is it for us. So we'll have a little fun. We'll do some Leafs, Raptors, Jays, a little general. Wake and Rake can be our last one, so we better win it. So make it a fun one. Make it a positive one. I see lots of plus money Jays, money line. I'm loving it. Let's just go. Let's go all out and win a big one before we say goodbye. Final break of the Fan Morning Show, Justin and Ailish.
Dive deep into Toronto sports and the NFL. The JD Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is it. Final countdown for realsies.
This one's for the Hamlets, as far as I'm concerned. This block is
Hamlets.
For the Hamlets.
Gonna miss the Hamlets. Maybe
yeah,
we should just...
we're not here without the Hamlets.
No.
Like, we are most
they
loyal.
Fund our station.
Yeah,
they're
buying a lot of Lexuses.
I hope so. Yes, this is it for us. It's going to be a fun send off for us as we hand it over to Brent and Ben on Monday morning. So we thought, because it's our last morning show, it's our last time on this time of the airwaves, we could do some maybe bold predictions, some crystal ball predictions.
We can unveil a new segment.
Because you can't hold us accountable for it. We'll never talk to you again at 8. We'll probably be a guest. Oh, no. I guess we have to say yes to every request that we ever get from the morning show because we know how tough of a grind it is to get guests.
And we kind of, Danielle won't be booking every guest for the morning, but if Danielle needs us for anything,
we're saying yes.
We're forever indebted. So, yeah.
Maybe give us like a month buffer, like to get through.
A month? You want a month?
Well, just to like.
I got news for you.
Just to, like, you know, settle in and let them talk to new people and let us recover emotionally, and then you can call us in a month. I'll give them that.
You can call me in a week, Danielle.
Well, no, I meant Danielle can call me whenever. The morning show.
Okay,
give me a month.
Okay.
Give me a month. We'll be back, though. So some crystal ball predictions that you, yeah, we're just going to say it and sign off. So
it's the crystal ball.
Take it as you'd like. We can do Leafs, Raptors, Jays, General, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So.
And just trade them?
Let's start with the Leafs because they're amidst the beginning of their training camp. There's a lot of excitement around this team. There's a lot of, as Nick Kiprios put it, positive vibes only. And I'm going to keep rolling with that. I think the Maple Leafs could have the number one power play in the league.
Okay.
Now, let me tell you why. They are way more deep in the two power play units than they have ever been. You got Domi, Bertuzzi. Imagine Bertuzzi and Domi net front. I'm moving anyone around. Klingberg, who literally can only play offense as a defenseman.
Okay.
And Morgan Rielly. So you have kind of the same guy twice. You could stagger them on two power play units.
So you've named four guys who aren't like guys who actually contributed to the power play last year.
That's what I'm saying. New depth. Hello. You obviously have Knies, who's going to be a full-time player on this team. Matthews.
Everyone's playing the power play.
Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares. Like, I can go through it all. But I saw this video on Twitter yesterday of Matthews doing one-timers with Guy Boucher in the OV spot.
Ooh.
Not on his strong side, on his opposite side, because you know how he does a little snap and release. Now he's setting up for OV one tees on the power play. So I think I have number one power play in the league. That's my take.
Okay.
Crystal ball.
I think mine's like a little bit more reckless because, again, no one can hold us accountable for what we're saying here. I mean, I guess mine's a bit subjective, but I think the city's going to fall, and I talked about this a little yesterday. I think the city's going to fall in love with this team. I mean, I remember growing up, it was Darcy Tucker. It was Shane Corson. It was
my guy.
It was cult heroes who gave you something that this Leaf team has not given you in a long time. And I didn't even mention Ty Domi. There's another Domi. I feel like this team is going to hit on a lot of the dimensions that are entertaining and endearing. And for the reality, the last couple of years, this team has been kind of hard to like in many ways. And I think that's because the depth had the absence of personality and impact. Like, gone are the Pierre Engvalls, and in are the Bertuzzi's, Domi's, and Reeves. This team is going to give you that blue collar thing that has been lacking and is so admired in the city. Plus, it's going to score a million goals and win a lot of games. I think the Maple Leafs are going to have their best season in the Matthews and Marner era this season. I think they're going to win the division. I think they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Final. I'm not going to tell you what happens after that. But as I gaze into the crystal ball, one addition on the blue line and the best result that this Leafs team has had in this iteration of it this year.
I'm feeling the same vibes. I have them winning the division. I mean, the Bruins are down. The Tampa's down. Florida might be the biggest fight. But this is the year they actually win the division. I think
the thing with Florida is I don't think they can do what they did.
I think it was
82
like,
times.
Yeah, it was
like it's playoff hockey. You don't do. You can't have the same intensity.
They peaked at the very end of the season.
They peaked,
and they sure peaked.
And they might be dangerous in the playoffs again. But I think the Leafs are more of a repeatable.
Well, they're a regular season team. We know that
Leafs
are the best regular season team. I'm totally on board with those. I think Matthews and Marner can both get over 100 points this year. I think they need to if we have these high aspirations for them. I think Knies could be a top three Calder Trophy candidate alongside Bedard and Fantilli.
Yeah.
Matthew Knies, if he's playing with the best of the best, if he's racking up points, he's, I don't know, top three. Michael Bunting was at the Calder Trophy Awards 2 years ago. Matthew Knies will then take his place. I don't think he'll win it, but he'll be there. Okay. He'll be there in a nice suit.
I like it. So all positive and all vibes, really, for the Leafs. I'm not sure we can say the same about the Raptors.
Oh, I'm not done with the Leafs.
Okay, go on. Empty the clip.
This is a big one. William Nylander will represent the Maple Leafs at the All-Star Game.
No, that's impossible.
Justice for William. Who's hosting the All-Star Game this year?
I believe it's the city of Toronto.
It sure is.
The Toronto Maple Leafs.
It sure is. This is a year that William Nylander represents the Maple Leafs at the All-Star Game. You lock it in now.
Okay.
September 22nd, Willie for the All-Star Game.
Is there room for three forwards?
It's Willie's year.
Okay.
And then I have an over and under for you.
Okay, let's hear it.
Ryan Reeves over under 6.5 fights this season. Let me give you context. Last year he had 7. The 3 years before that he had 3. This is like traditional fights on hockeyfights.com or whatever.
I will take the over because I think he's going to be so juiced up to start. Like he might have 4 in the first 10 games.
I think it's a heavy over.
Then the situation will dictate how many more there are. But I do think that he's going to be ready and really, really eager to show how he can help this team because as much as he's got the salary stability and a couple and 3 years on the contract, he's going to want to prove that he should stay in this lineup, and it's going to be a competitive lineup to stay in.
It's Willie's year.
Willie's year.
All right. Willie's year and Ryan Reeves is here. The two of them. Those are our stars.
Maybe more Willie, but Revo too.
Willie to the All-Star game. Okay. You want to go Raptors now?
Yeah, I mean, the Raptors is definitely less interesting, given that there's a lot of unknown, but there's also not much expectation. I do think the Raptors are kind of going to burn another season here.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be misplaced Lillard interest, no traction on Siakam, not enough support in the end for guys like Scotty Barnes and OG Anunoby. I think it's a developmental year. It's a year where Darko is going to come in and do a lot of evaluating, hopefully on the up and up and not stealing from the New York Knicks. But here's a hot take. Because no one else is going to care about it.
Yes.
The Raptors win the in-season tournament.
That's what I want.
Late November is the highlight of the Raptors season. No one else cares, but the Raptors
Justin.
Do. The Raptors find some success and some solace.
They win something this year.
In a tournament no one cares about.
I'm so on board with them winning the in-season tournament, and we called it the mid-season tournament, as in like mid-teams are going to care about it. And that's the Toronto Raptors. They will be the mid-season champions, and then that's it. That's all we'll have. But let me give you something else that they're going to have. I think Darko's going to be a fan favorite. I think people are going to be happy to flip the switch on the Nick Nurse sideline squats. I think Darko's going to hustle his way into the hearts of Raptors fans, and he's going to erase the narrative that he's a thief from the New York Knicks and win that in-season tournament. I also would like to make my bold prediction that Grady Dick will win the three-point contest.
Oh, man.
And he will be on the cover of GQ this year.
Okay. I can see the latter.
One might lead to the other.
One might lead to the other, though. I mean, yeah, I mean, there will be nothing but plaudits and flowers and opportunities for him if he wins the premier competition at the NBA All-Star Game. It's going to take something for him to get that invite, though.
Raps sneak into the playoffs, maybe.
Oh, you're being
don't do much, though.
Through the play-in, or are
through
we talking?
Play-in.
Yeah, they're going to win a play-in game, finally?
They trade either one of OG, Trent, and Pascal, though, contractual reasons why.
Oof.
Dennis Schroeder loves the city of Toronto. The city of Toronto loves him.
Okay.
Builds on that FIBA momentum, makes us feel a little bit less sad about Fred VanVleet leaving.
Anything else?
We have serious Messiah conversations next spring.
These things feel like they're competing.
No. Sneaking into the playoffs is enough for the trust in Messiah once again? We're doing the same thing over and over again. I think we'll have some conversations about that next year.
Is it because
underperforming?
So we're going to let him make that trade? And Anunoby, Siakam?
We're going to let him? What, are we going to take him?
if we're not clear about his future.
I don't think all three of those players will continue to play for the Raptors this
year. So you're expecting, I think we're expecting opposite things here. You're expecting some movement, some action, things to happen.
That's what they want.
I honestly think they're going to do nothing.
Maybe I just am willing myself to have something that the Raptors do. But they'll win the midseason tournament and they'll be mid. So
it is eerily quiet around this team. But I feel like that's because they're trying and it ain't happening.
How many more times are we going to see a rumor about Pascal Siakam? Like, it's just going to happen, or is he going to continue playing under like
doesn't feel like anyone wants him. It's not great.
Should
they
Raptors?
Take him? But like Kobe Bufkin off the table, we're not interested. We're the Atlanta Hawks.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's not great.
Any more Raptors? Highlight is Grady Dick.
No, I thought I was taking it too far with the in-season tournament. The mid-season tournament. We really have
it's
to.
It's the mid-season tournament.
It is the mid-season tournament.
Jays.
Okay, so the AL West team that goes to the wild card seems destined for Minnesota, right? Unless one of them completely beats up on the other. But I expect Seattle and Texas to kind of just take one, and it really does help the Jays. Which means, though, that the Blue Jays go to the Trop, and we know what happens at the Trop.
Oh,
except
the
this time it
prediction.
Doesn't. Except this time it doesn't. The Blue Jays are going to get in the wild card. They're going to go to the Trop, and they're going to grind out a series victory. I don't know how.
Interesting.
But they're going to do it, because what have the Blue Jays done all season long? Do what you don't expect them to do, really. It's been a roller coaster. It's up and down. When you expect it to be good, it goes bad. When you expect something bad to happen, it goes well. If the Blue Jays go into the Trop, everybody is going to be thinking they're going to lose. It's been a house of horrors. It's been an absolute nightmare pretty much every time they've stepped foot in that godforsaken ballpark. But because they always, at least this year, give us one that's unexpected, I think they're going to grind out a wild card series win. Not going to say they're going to beat Houston up next, because frankly, I don't think the Blue Jays can beat a team like Houston in a seven-game series. The short sample, they might be able to catch the Rays, and we kind of call off the dogs in the offseason. Ross Atkins doesn't sit on his hands because he realizes we were fortunate here. It was a bad season. It was a team, not a bad season, but it was a season that fell short of expectations and could have went so much better. You had the best pitching staff maybe in the history, at least my history, of watching this team, and it was as close as it's been. So I do think they're going to learn from this, but because they won something, it's going to prevent major change at the managerial level, and Alek Manoah will be traded.
Wow. You just snuck that one in there at the end, eh?
That's all I got.
I don't think he'll be traded. Who's trading for him?
Someone will.
Some desperate Oakland Athletics
look
team?
Look at the New York Yankees, and I know they're not doing it because Garrett Cole
God,
and him would just...
God, they would never trade for Alek Manoah.
They'd have to, you know, like a hockey team and have, like, bucket fight, like something
yeah,
like that.
They'd have to what do is it called, like, locker
what,
box?
What, yeah, locker box. Whatever the baseball equivalent is, they just have to get their frustrations out right away. But a team, there are teams like that who are spending so much money and getting nothing. And that's the thing about Alek Manoah, he doesn't make much money. And maybe you can turn him around and you don't have to open up the checkbook again in order to inject maybe with talent or at least potential talent. The guy did get nominated for Cy Young, and maybe there's just more to it.
I think he needs a season before. I think he needs to show that he can pitch again before someone's taking
I don't
that
think
lead.
The Blue Jays are getting him that opportunity.
Well, I guess we'll find out. These are our crystal balls. You've touched on most of them. I said Nate Pearson traded. Looney Dogs comes back bigger than ever with a new official spokesperson.
I wonder who that'll be. Your evening's now kind of spoken for.
I could do it from the ballpark in a Looney Dog costume. Okay. That's all I got to say. Okay, I just got one or two more random ones because I want to make sure we get time for Tex and our Wake and Rake. So Montreal wins the inaugural PWHL trophy, whatever it's going to be named.
Whatever. Canadian? I'm just calling them that.
Whatever their team name is will win whatever the team trophy is this season. Lock it in now. I think the NHL will reinstate their Olympic participation this year.
Okay, I'll take that one. If nothing else happens, give me that.
Kane to Buffalo.
Okay.
He's currently here in Toronto training as he rehabilitates from his hip surgery. And Buffalo's interest, I think he does it. Those are my final bold predictions.
I have two championship predictions. The Edmonton Oilers are going to win the Stanley Cup, and they're going to win it in a way that makes us feel like they're going to win the next five Stanley Cups.
Oh my
I think
God.
This is the year of the Oiler. I think they've made the right moves to get to the point where they are maximizing a roster with two of the best, I would say, three players on the planet on the team. I think they're going to be incredibly dominant when the playoffs roll around, and the Miami Dolphins are going to win the Super Bowl.
Okay. I'm really glad we did this. You can record it if you'd like, but don't send us any freezing cold takes.
Hopefully one of these...
I think one will hit, and then we'll remember this moment. Okay, guys. Well, we have lots of texts to go through. We'll do a Wake and Rake, and we'll try to read as many as we can before we say goodbye.
Wake up!
Now it's time for Wake and Rake.
You could be raking in the dough with your kind of accuracy.
Show me the money!
With Ailish and Justin.
Okay, so we're going to try to make it a very fun, positive, fruitful Wake and Rake, because it's the end of us.
Then we realized, like, it's kind of like it was going to be like, this is the best case scenario for the Jays parlay, but it's kind of hard to put that together. But we tried.
Okay, so let's quickly read some. Corey in Waterloo says Jays to win plus money, bounce back spot. Eric Biggie in Burlington says Diamondbacks plus money against the Yankees. Jays and Rays over, Braves and Nationals over.
Okay.
Dan in Peterborough wants something from Biggio. It's time to get Biggio to 60 hits, so maybe just a Biggio hit. Steven Sutton, shout out Sutton, my hometown. Jays on the money line, love that. Adrian from Burlington has a couple here. Colorado Buffaloes to cover the spread, LSU money line, Florida State spread, and Atlanta Falcons plus money on the money line.
In Detroit.
TJ and Stovall says Jays money line.
I think we know what the anchor is.
Neil in Newfoundland. One last tennis pick, he says.
Oh, my God. I am playing this.
Ben Shelton.
Till the cows come home.
1.5 game spread versus Arthur Fields, right? Fields?
I think so.
We like that a lot.
Maybe Fields.
Fields. I'm in my Fields. Ian the Snowball Driver, Springer or Vladdy for a dinger, plus money, both batting over 400 and with a home run against Glasnow. Corey from Port Hope says, Orioles money line versus Cleveland. It's almost even money, which is too good to pass up on. So I think for sure Jay's money line is locked in from the text line. No doubt about it. It's a positive Friday final show. We got to have something good.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Jays money line.
It's the anchor, 100%. Bassett, Glasnow, Jays, plus 130, I'm seeing in it. That's a good place to start, a profitable one.
Okay. What would you like?
Okay, so I'm looking at Seattle and Texas because, you know, they're like obviously the teams that we're most interested in at this point. And what's like the best case scenario for a game between Seattle and Texas right now? Well, you can't have a tie. So how about just both pitching staffs blow up? Like just awful,
just disaster.
Awful pitching. Texas's bullpen looks as bad as it's been. Seattle has nothing left in the tank. They can't pitch it anymore. One, they maybe can. But I'm hoping that both pitching staffs look bad and the offenses look, you know, pretty good, but maybe error filled, helping things out just a little bit. Mariners and Rangers over 9 minus 105.
Okay. I just want the Diamondbacks to beat the Yankees. I don't like the Yankees. They suck. It's plus money. Let's just do it.
I mean,
why not?
Plus money against the Yankees. If it's there,
we just saw that
throughout
sad
the rest
franchise.
Of the season, unless Gerrit Cole is pitching, and Gerrit Cole is not going to be plus money at any point.
There you go.
So it might be betting against the Yankees until the end of the season.
This is it, folks. Blue Jays to win over 8.5 in the Mariners and Rangers, and Diamondbacks to win plus 755.
That's a big one.
Wow. Okay, so we got about 5 minutes. I can read you some nice texts, and we can say goodbye to our lovely listeners, okay?
Let's do it.
Dave and Barry, thank you for breaking up the monotony of the gym every morning. Ailish, to hear you go from trying to squeeze a word in to leading the mornings has been awesome. I'm sure you've inspired some young listeners, like Jules, on her way to school in the mornings. It's really sweet. Once Cuthbert joined, you two developed a great chemistry, and I can't wait to hear you guys do the pregame show as I run up and down the 400 for my son's final year of U18 AA hockey.
There you go.
Thank you, Dave and Barry. That is very, very kind of you.
Give us the team, by the way.
Oh, that's fair. I would love to cheer them on. Here's another one. Guys, fan morning show, Justin and Ailish. I'm going to miss you guys in the morning. I was choked when the good show ended, and it took me a while to warm up to Ailish, Blake, and JD, but I quickly started to fall in love with the show and became one of the simps. Nice. Then when Justin came to the morning show, I thought it was a really complete morning show, and I think you guys have done a great job in the absence of JD and Blake. I just want you to know how great it's been to wake up to both of you and both have you recap the events of yesterday to get some good takes on both of the world of sports. Justin, you're a dark horse and a wise man. Love your takes. Ailish, you're a beast, always bringing the energy and witty banter, and you would fit in any show. Can't wait to see where life takes you, and congrats on grinding and finally being able to get more sleep.
Oh, that's a nice text.
It's a beautiful text.
You can do this all day.
I'll send you some more. Jim and Keswick. You know I have to read anyone from Georgina. Jim and Keswick, on our way to Windsor for a hockey tournament, U16 Upper York Admirals. Very sad today. Going to miss you guys in the morning. Best of luck to them in their season ahead. Just lots of, just really nice. I don't want to read everybody's, but shout out to the Sutton, Ontario listeners. We had a couple of them text in this morning. So
yeah, we can't read all of them, but we appreciate all the texts and all the support. For me, I think this is a duo proven tenable. And that's what we established over a year, at least in my opinion. And no secret, I wouldn't be here without you. And this has been the highlight of my professional career to date.
Justin.
So thank you, Ailish. And I will let you say goodbye because this has been your show for...
No, it hasn't. It's our show.
No, but this you've been here for a long time. Not a long time, but you've been through iterations of it. And I think everyone wants to hear you say goodbye.
Well, I definitely remember my first ever morning show, and it was with JD and Blake, and I was completely out of my comfort zone. I had never done radio before. I had never really covered anything but hockey as a hockey player. And I definitely felt that I had a big mountain to climb. And JD and Blake helped with that. They definitely pushed me. And when they moved off the show and I got to start a little bit here with a bit more of my own voice, I definitely felt like I found it. And I appreciate the trust in that and the belief in that.
Ailish Hour forever.
I definitely feel like it's been a big learning curve for everyone, but I feel really proud that we've both made it this far, and I feel like I'm a better broadcaster because of the last 2 years. So a thank you to JD and Blake and to Daniele and Vic, who moved on. Vic was our first board up, and now Josh, of course, who's filled in over the last year. And then, of course, Justin. We go way back, and it has been a pleasure to share this studio with you, but we won't be in this studio anymore. So we get to leave today on the last day of summer. As we enter fall and start on our own journey, a new time slot, a completely different lifestyle for us both, but we have an incredible, incredible listenership. Thank you to everybody that texts in every morning. Like, it really made this so special for me. Oh, no. I got emotional. So thanks.
You got it. You
oh,
got
no.
This.
I just want to say thank you. It's really been a pleasure to wake up every morning with you. Okay, that's enough.
All right.
Gunning and Ennis will take you on Monday through the rest of this sports season and into the new year. And I can't wait to support them. And they're going to be in, you will be in great hands, listeners. So tune in and give them your love. Text them, use the text line. And we will chat with you guys shortly in about 2 weeks on our new show. And Monday night, the very first Maple Leafs game on the pregame there. So finally, Justin.
Let's do it. Thanks, everyone. Thank you, Ailish.
Thanks,
it's been
everyone.
So much fun.
That's it for Justin and Ailish on the Fan Morning Show.